Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church? With the one and only Sister AJ and her nitpicking sidekick, yours truly. Well, we're in studio to, again, look at Dallas Jenkins' worthless mini-series or eight-season series or whatever you want to call it, The Chosen. And I got to tell you, it hasn't been chosen for any awards. It's putrid, if you ask me. And already in the second season, this guy has already run out of, to me, in the second season, the series is stinks. You know, normally, think about this. Normally, a series or a television series or a broadcast, a show will have, you know, six seasons, eight seasons. Now, the first ones are really good, and then the last season, not so good because they run out of ideas. This guy's already run out of steam in the second season, and it's putrid. Well, let me just bring on Sister AJ, and as I do, let me just remind you all that if you're in need of prayer, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. Also, don't forget that Sister Marie is going to be in studio tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And if you want to be part of a prayer service where people are really praying and people are really believing God, and if you want to be part of a church family, contact me there on this on the email address that's in the broadcast description, because we have a wonderful prayer meeting every Tuesday night. And I would encourage you, if you want to join the band of people who really love the Lord and who are really praying, then email me and we'll get you the information. Sister AJ, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to today's broadcast. Now, did I make a wrong assessment there when I said that, you know, when you watch any popular TV series, you know, the first 5 years are good, year six is good, but, you know, towards the tail end of the series, they have no more ideas for the show, and eventually the show gets canceled because it loses viewership. To me, this show would have been canceled already because it stinks. Season two, all the ideas are pretty stupid, if you ask me. And so
right.
What say you?
I agree with you. Now, there have been some TV series that it may be a little shaky in the beginning, and then it picks up as the characters develop and the stories get better. But by and large, it'll be similar to what you're saying. It's like they just go kaput.
Right,
toward
right,
the
right.
end of the series.
Sure.
And this, when you said worthless, I'm like Dallas is the son of Belial, the worthless one or something, because his
yeah.
show is worthless. Nothing can come from Belial but stuff that's no good and no of no real spiritual value anyway. Now,
right,
Right. And I don't know how, when I first heard about, I'm like, I don't know how you're going to milk this out for 7, maybe 8 series or seasons, because, you know, I've seen a mini series before on the life of Jesus, and that was like maybe 6 hours, like it would be a couple hours each night that it was going to be on TV or something like that, but not like multi-season. So I don't even know how this is going to work. And then the way it's funded, people might run out of money, because you see what's going on in the world, right? So
sure.
How are people going to be able to continue to finance this thing? That's the other piece to it.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. He's got these T-shirts that he pops out, because with every new episode or new thing that he discovers, he just pops out another T-shirt. And
mm-hmm.
you know, if he gets a new concept like the whirlpool, right? Where I said that's this show being flushed down the toilet. But
right.
for him, that was the stirring of the water, which was one of the worst
mm-hmm.
episodes, because according to him, it was a pagan site. And, you
right.
know, to say that Simon the Zealot's brother was there, and that him and his brother had separated and gone separate ways, I mean, this is just a discombobulated piece of garbage. It's disjointed. It makes no sense. He's got people there. He's got disciples missing. Like you said, the first miracle of Jesus was the wedding of Canaan. He's got other miracles before that one. This is just a mess, a complete mess. And it's just worthless. An autistic Matthew. There's no mention of autism or anything near that in first century.
Right.
But this is what he's got.
An autistic and a germaphobe. But then in the first season, we see Matthew hanging around with a dog as a pet, an unclean animal. And plus, you know, as much as we love our pets, they can be kind of nasty.
Sure. Absolutely. I know about nasty pets.
Would be hanging around with a dog. Yeah.
Right. No, I know about nasty pets. Please. I just recently earned a master's degree on how nasty pets could be. So, No. This is just rubbish. This is worthless. He's got people in there that don't never exist.
A big pile of rubbish.
Oh my goodness. And people fawning all over this thing, and then he gets mad if you nitpick. He's so infuriated and smoke coming out of his ears, and his daddy's watching the show 20 times. This is no good. This is just garbage. But you know, the church has been chasing garbage for years because the church has been chasing the likes of Juanita Bynum and Benny Hinn. Right, and Todd Koontz and Mike Murdoch. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the church is used to chasing garbage.
That's right.
So,
so do you think that this series would have worked, say, 20 years ago?
I don't think so. Here's the other problem with this. The other problem is that he's tied up with the Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
He's in league with Mormons.
Now that probably wouldn't have worked 20 years ago for sure.
Right. There would have been some guys still alive that, you know, if you had Walter Martin around, Walter Martin, the guy who wrote The Kingdom of the Cults, he would have been all over him and his dad. You know?
Right.
People who would have, you know, who would have been alive, who would have spoken out against it, and not just because of the Mormon connection, but the biblical inconsistency. Here's Jesus. Jesus is practicing his Sermon on the Mount. No, that's not the way to say it. No, that's not what.
Right, Jesus.
He's
looking
the living
like me
word.
Up there, tried to practice a speech.
Right. You know, in the beginning was the Word. He's the Logos. He doesn't need to practice.
He's the Word made flesh dwelling amongst his people, so why would he need to practice?
And then he's saying, that's the wrong word. No, let me go back. What? No, that's what I'm saying. You need a pooper scooper for this show. That's what you need for this show. It's garbage.
Right. Yes, indeed. It's just the timeline is all, and even Dallas Ignat has admitted in those interviews we watched that the majority, what he says, 95%, but I would go a little bit higher than that, is extra biblical is how he puts it, which means it's a figment of his imagination.
Yeah. And his imagination is not very, it's not very good because it just stinks. And then to have so-called consultants, why would you have a Roman Catholic consultant on your team? Why? Unless you want to draw in the Roman Catholics.
Well, he does, because don't forget about the boot licking he did with Pope Francis on his visit to the Vatican to promote the show.
Sure.
He wants that Catholic audience, and
right.
that probably accounts to so much Catholic-friendly stuff we're seeing, especially in season two, when it comes down to the elevation of these women that are quote-unquote disciples of Jesus, especially his mother, when we know that she, well, we don't get the sense from the scriptures anyway that she traveled around with him like this. I mean, they would go, he would go get them up from Nazareth or Capernaum or wherever they were, and they would go down to the feast and the Passover together. They would all go travel down for that, or, you know, when certain things
mm-hmm.
in the area in Galilee, you would
right.
see her there with her other children, but you didn't see her. She just didn't travel with them around the countryside. And you brought that up last week, that would just be too rigorous for women. But you know the feminist will probably not be happy with you to hear that.
Well, the other thing is, when you read the accounts of Mary showing up, except for the account of Jesus on the cross,
mm-hmm.
She's always accompanied with her sons and her daughters.
Yeah.
And
that's
these
right.
Dallas, you know, she's just by herself. And Jesus allowed his mother to starve. She confesses, oh, you know, ever since she started working for God, we have no Cheerios in the house.
He doesn't earn anybody. He's basically said he's a bum.
That's it. He's a bum. Right. Right. He's a bum. Sure.
He's
sure.
not taking care of his mother like he should.
No, he's not. Not. No, he's a naughty boy. He's no good.
But that's the trickery and the subtlety of Satan and all that I think that we're seeing here, because Dallas has sense enough to know that nobody would accept an overtly just sinful Jesus. So the way he gets away with certain things is pulling at his divinity and,
yes.
and making him more fallible and human.
Yes, absolutely. That's the name. Like you said, he cannot attack Jesus' holiness. So he has to you know, make Jesus more human, in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's human. He's all human. But he wants
yes.
to make him, listen, if he says, you know, this radio reformer guy is just stupid, okay, that's fine. You know, like I said, whatever he says wouldn't bother me. And plus, there is real criticism because, like I said, all throughout my life at every level, I used to give papers to teachers and they would send it back to me with a lot of red. So it wasn't like, you know,
yeah.
I was any teacher's pet or, you know, any, no, I was a regular student. I was in the middle, always in the middle of the pack. That was me. Not on the bottom, but not on the top either. Always in the middle. That's
mm-hmm.
where I was. So yeah, I remember the teachers giving me my papers back and, you know, you better put more work into it or you're going to fail this semester. And, you know, and always making it by the skin of my teeth, you know. So,
right.
You know, so him saying, you know, that I don't know what I'm talking about. Listen, I was told that my whole life. So that won't bother me. But truth is truth.
Yes.
And this is just a worthless series. Worthless. There's nothing here you can salvage. It's all garbage. This scene about I'm still tormented by watching Nicodemus up against the wall, crying,
and just leaving a bag of money, which Jesus accepts. By the way, Jenkins
right.
even was like, "Oh, well, close but no cigar." Snatches up the money and leaves.
Right. So no, it's just horrible. It's just horrible, horrible series. So I don't know what to say. I mean, we have to look at the shows because, again, I cannot, in all fairness, tell people to stay away from something that I didn't see.
Right.
So if I'm going to tell them to stay away from it,
that'll probably be one of the first questions asked. Well, did you even watch the whole thing? And you'll
right.
be able to say, well, as a matter of fact, I did. Even that
correct.
Christmas thing.
Oh, that was horrible. That was
yeah.
horrible. Yeah.
And it would seem to be more about Mary and Mary Magdalene than it was about Jesus, which
sure.
was strange.
Well, like I said, or like you pointed out, this guy, Jesus is basically absent. And even when he's performing miracles, you don't see much of what supposedly Jesus is doing. If Jesus is not sleeping, he's in some, you know, he's somewhere else. He's somewhere
right.
else.
Or his miracles have no rhyme or reason. Dallas
mm-hmm.
portrays them as basically Jesus. This Jesus could be a member of Tifa or somebody because he's
right.
just an agitator. He just goes
correct.
In and to stir up trouble among the Pharisees, but not.
Mm-hmm.
It's no real reason for his miracles other than just to antagonize the
correct.
Pharisees.
Correct. Or like in this last one where we saw where he does the miracles just to get on their last working nerve.
Yep.
Right? That's
mm-hmm.
and Jesus never did anything motivated by that.
Right. That was oftentimes the result because of the jealousy and it and all that stuff as far as the religious leaders, but that wasn't his purpose for doing what he was doing.
Right. Yeah, listen, no matter what you do, the devil's going to get mad anyway because he's the
yeah.
devil. So, but the way Dallas portrays him is like Jesus is just doing it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Jesus said, whatever I say or whatever I do is because the Father has sent me.
That's right.
That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because the Father has sent me. Not because I'm acting like some rogue or some rebel or, like you said, some guy
mm-hmm.
from Antifa. No, that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. Okay, so
nope.
here we are. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to transition. Last week we did leave off the little bit left of episode 6, and it was just after Jesus healed the man in the synagogue with the withered hand and then also the argument with the Pharisees over his disciples plucking the grain on the Sabbath, and that was around the 40-minute mark. Now, if you want to go back a little and re-listen to the miracle in the synagogue and then just finish it off that way, then you can move it back to 35-minute mark.
Okay, so now we're going to go to season 2, correct?
Right,
season
episode
two.
6.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm clicking there on episode 6, but it's not, let's see here. I don't know why. Okay, here we go. All right. It's for whatever reason, it's not opening up. Okay, season 2.
Are you on the website? Because I just have screenshots in that email I sent you, but you got to click
okay.
on the link to go to
all
the
right.
website.
Let me go back. Let me go back here, screenshot. Mm-hmm.
Those are just instructions if you need them. but the link to the website is up in the text of the email.
Okay, there we go. All right, here we go. No. Okay. Season 2, episode 6. Okay, I clicked on season 2, and then it took me to season 1. Okay.
Yeah,
and
sometimes it does that. You just have to go to that drop down of the episodes.
Okay. Here we go. Now, finally, I'm there. Okay.
And just go to 35. The 35-minute mark.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Try it again. Okay. All right. 35 minutes. Here we go.
Shalom.
Even to the 10th generation, none of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever.
I see.
Because they did not meet you with bread and with what? Excuse me. What are you doing?
What is your name?
Elam.
Your friend Elam has a withered hand.
Are you a healer? It is not lawful to heal on Sabbath.
Which one of you who has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath will not take hold of it and lift it up?
Who are you to speak to our congregation in such a way?
How much more value is this man than a sheep?
Stop this at once.
Come here. Come stand here. It's okay.
Elam, sit down. We don't know this person. He could be a shaman.
Is it lawful on Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?
This affliction does not threaten his life.
It does not even affect his health.
Those guys are the town guards.
So for those of you who didn't see, first he interrupted the reading simply by standing next to this guy with a paralyzed hand.
the priest.
What? Reaping or harvesting on Shabbat.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry, I've been so hungry, I forgot what day it is.
Your name, your lineage, your virtue, and now your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.
Have you not read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He entered the house of God in a time of Ahimelech, the priest,
and ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for him to eat, but only for the priests.
You would compare yourself to David. It was an emergency.
Or have you not read in the law how on Shabbat the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, but are guiltless?
That's for Levites. Are you a Levite of priestly lineage?
Listen carefully. Something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.
Son of Man. The title, Son of Man, seems to upset a lot of people. Why? Tell you later. They probably won't even read it. This is what...
Matthew is asking for reference as to what does the Son of Man mean, and another disciple says, I'll explain it to you later. I thought Jesus was the teacher.
I agree. Philip is doing more teaching in this series than Jenk and Jesus.
That's right. This Jesus does no teaching. His disciples are clueless.
They're always not understanding what's going on. And we touched on this last week where we said that Jenk and Jesus provides no stability. They were all upset over John's imprisonment and trying to figure out what to do, and he was nowhere to be found. And he offered no comfort, no guidance, no leadership. They're just in disarray. And
right.
Apparently they've got to even figure out the scriptures or spiritual concepts by themselves, because he doesn't do much teaching in that area either.
Right. I tell you, this is bad. Okay.
Funny cares not Bethany or Jericho. They routinely forget to send us memoranda of liturgical changes for synagogue practice. And if we don't alert the Sanhedrin, then we sin by omission. He even had women following him. Three.
Be sure to add that if that doesn't catch their attention.
But the Sanhedrin is distracted between Rome and the fractions and the zealots and the protests and Herod and Caesar. Their attention is diluted. Who would have dreamed? Someone claiming to be the Son of Man?
The one who approaches the Ancient of Days.
And Lord of the Sabbath. Walking into a tiny synagogue.
What he killed, Jerusalem, David, Goliath. Maybe there is hope for the little, the overlooked.
Or maybe they write it off as just another lunatic in the wilderness, spewing blasphemies and trying to get attention.
And that it will end up at the bottom of a pile on some secretary's desk.
We could go to the Tabata. There will be people of import among the protests. We could tell them as well. Yes. We would do both. Who knows? All we can do is fulfill our duty to report the facts. And pray. For what?
Hey there, I'm Dallas Jenkins, creator of The Chosen. Thank you so much for watching. You know, I'm standing on the set of Season 2 of The Chosen right now. We intend to do 7 seasons of this show, and you can help us get there. If you want to know more, please check out the free...
What rubbish. I mean, this is... Oh, my goodness, this is so bad. And then he goes on there,
and...
Hi, this is Dallas Jenkins.
Yeah.
If you'd like to support us... What?
Yeah.
I'm upset. Who? Oh, horrible. Horrible.
And it's like what those two incidents that he showed, they were actually flip-flop. The thing with the grain happened first, and then the guy gets healed with the withered hand, and then so a whole bunch of more stuff happened. Like Jesus healed a bunch of people, cast out demons, and that was this is also the scene where they accused them of casting out demons under the power of Beelzebub. And so there was a lot there that Dallas left out, plus he flip-flopped the two scenes that he did show, which I don't understand why he felt the need to do that. And then also Dallas has this whole situation taking place somewhere around Jericho or Bethany or somewhere, but it was actually in Capernaum. So he's like a long way off as far as the location as well. I mean, that's another nitpick, but it's just indicative of how he just changes things at his leisure and no real reason for it, just to do it.
Right, right, right. You know, if you would have said, let's say my kids, I have a daughter homeschooling downstairs. And, okay, Madison, we want to study the Apollo missions. And if she was to write a term paper and tell her mother and I that the Apollo missions was the U.S. astronauts trying to get to Jupiter, what do you mm-hmm. think would happen? I mean, do you think her mother and I would nitpick if she wrote that the Apollo moon mission was to Jupiter? You say, no, sweetheart, it was to the moon.
Right.
But, Daddy, you're nitpicking. It's not nitpicking. It's being accurate.
Right. Or you put the Apollo missions ahead of the other things that led up to it. Like,
right,
what was
right.
it, Gemini, Mercury,
yeah,
whichever
and Mercury,
one of
yeah,
those two.
Yeah. Sure.
So he has them out of order.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, this is a mess. A mess. It's just, especially, you know, when you're a writer, right, you think about it, when you are a writer and you study other writers like Matthew or Mark or Luke and John, you would tend to think as a writer, he would say, you know, since I'm a writer, I ought to do these writers justice. I ought mm-hmm. to tell their story the way they said it. No, this guy's got he's got an Irish dinner mixed in with Mexican food. This is just a mess.
Right.
All right, so we're going to
episode 7. I was just going to say he couldn't take this into a court of law and get in the way with flipping the events around.
No. I remember, and that's a very good point that you make, because each one of the gospel writers produces eyewitness accounts,
mm-hmm.
right? John was
yeah.
an eyewitness. Matthew was an eyewitness, not Luke, right? And not Mark, but Mark and Luke got testimony from eyewitnesses.
Yes.
Whereas John and Matthew were eyewitnesses. So, you know, you're presenting evidence in a courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
And this just wouldn't, this is, Dallas, you got this all wrong. Look, do I watch Alfred Hitchcock Presents or this or Perry Mason or this? And Perry Mason, hands down. Hands down.
Just about anything.
Yeah. Do I watch The Brady Bunch or this? The Brady Bunch. I mean,
Andy Griffith.
Yeah, absolutely.
Leave it to Beaver.
Right. No, this is unwatchable. This is, you know, and of course, you would think, well, isn't it about your Jesus? Yeah, but this is not my Jesus. That's the problem. This ain't my Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know who this is, an imposter. Another case of identity theft.
Right, right, right. No, this is just, it's just awful, awful. This is, you know, this is unredeemable. There's nothing that you can take out of any of these shows and say, okay, we'll keep these 2 seconds of film and we'll get rid. No, there's nothing there that you can save. Nothing.
Well, what would you say to someone? Because I'm sure at some point you may have to talk to someone about this. So what would you say if they just say, well, I just like it for entertainment. What's the big deal if it's a little off?
Well, the big deal is that he is distorting Jesus. And you're not supposed to distort Jesus. When you have Jesus passing gas, that's a problem. When you have a Jesus who gets mad at little kids and tells them, you woke me up too early and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's a problem. When you have a Jesus whose mother says, you know, there's no food in the house because of this guy here, that's a problem. There's just, when you have a Jesus practicing the Sermon on the Mount and then correcting himself, that's a major problem.
Right.
When you have a Jesus who says, hey, maybe somebody else will come down the road in a couple of years and explain all of this to us. Now, he didn't say, we'll explain it to you. He said, we'll explain it to us, meaning he too is clueless. That's a problem.
It's a problem when you see him being rebuked by John the Baptist because John feels he's being a little soft on the sin of Herod.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, this is complete. You just take the whole thing, the 2 seasons, and roll that up with the T-shirts and the Jesus junk and all. Just put it on a pile and light a match to it. That's all. And just say, money flushed down the toilet.
Right.
I mean, this is the way. Look, just think about it. This, supposedly Christians are sending him money to do this, right? I mean, that's the game they're playing.
More than likely. Yeah.
Right. So now you have part of those profits going to Mormons, because he's in a business partnership.
Yes.
And then you know he's living high on the hog on this. Don't tell me he's not living high on the hog on this. I mean, this is his baby. Yeah. Think about it. He wrote an episode by himself, and then he turned around and then published a kid's book on that episode in Spanish and in English. He didn't publish a children's book where he had to share the profits with 2 co-writers. No, he did a children's book on the one he did by himself. Oh, right. It was so special that I just had... No, it was you alone. You didn't have to share with anybody. This guy's pocketing big sums of money. Big sums.
That's right.
They always say, the FBI always says, follow the money. There's a reason why the FBI says follow the money. Because it leads you to the crooks.
Mm-hmm.
It leads you to, you know, who's getting it.
That's right.
And this guy, you know, he's got posters. He's got pictures. He's got pretty
calendars,
soon, I mean, he's,
comic books.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty soon he's going to have hand puppets and action figures and, you know, This is just, I've never seen anything like this. This is, and the popularity, my goodness, is so popular.
Yes. Yes, it is. And people take this as the real, a witnessing tool, a way that you can get conversations going about Jesus and the Bible, but it promotes the false Jesus.
Right, right, right. This is so bad. Listen, this is so bad. You know, it's like the Apocrypha books. The reason why they call Apocrypha, which means hidden, was because the church took those books and hid them. They didn't want anybody to see or read those books because they had bad theology in them. This is an Apocrypha series. You got to take this series, put it in a vault, and throw away the key. This is bad. This is real bad.
Well, I don't know how many comments or reviews on their merchandise page where people are talking about how their churches are watching The Chosen and how they're doing small group Bible studies using the study material. And I saw one comment where the guy was told by a sister of his who was supposed to be a believer when he was at the end of his rope and reaching out, and she told him to watch The Chosen and then get back to her.
Think about
so
it.
This is that. That's what makes this dangerous.
Let's think about this. You know, whenever the disciples are looking for Jesus, is because he got up a great while before day. You read those accounts in those Gospels where Jesus used to get up real early to pray. This Jesus is sleeping at 2 o'clock.
Sun is high up in the sky and he's still in bed.
And this is a joke. All around it just smells bad. And I know, you know, when he's surrounded by people who just tell him how wonderful he is. And then one person says, "We didn't like that episode about Mary Magdalene." And you just saw how contorted he got. I mean, he was all bent out of shape.
He was very angry. He was. It wasn't an act. He was. You were seeing the true Dallas Jenkins when we watched that clip. He was very angry.
And that reminds me of these
pastors. I'm surprised he didn't curse.
Yeah, sure. It reminds me of these pastors when in a business meeting, if they still have them in church, people raise their hand and say, "Pastor, those $50 are unaccounted for, Pastor. Where did those $50?" And he goes ballistic over $50. How dare you question my integrity? How dare you question my reasoning for? Don't you know who I am? Yeah, you're a crook.
A crook.
That's it. No, this is bad news. This is bad news. Yeah.
So and it doesn't get any better with the next episode called The Reckoning, episode 7, and you can go ahead and start it from the beginning.
Right. And let me just read here what the little synopsis on this episode is. After hearing of Jesus' whereabouts, Quintus sends Gaius to arrest him. Now, first of all, there is no Quintus in the Gospels. There is no Gaius in the Gospels. And there is no arrest at this period.
Nope. So you already know this is back. This is going off the rails from the beginning.
Right. This is something my dog Benjamin would write, okay? That's how bad this is. Okay. It goes on to say, The disciples lose control as they argue about how to respond. While seeking information about where Jesus has been taken, Andrew and Philip encounter old friends. So Jesus was never arrested or taken anywhere.
Not at this point. That wasn't until he was about to be crucified.
Right, right.
The scripture doesn't even show to any interest by the Romans until time for his crucifixion. Now, Herod, because he was the Tetrarch in Galilee, had heard of him, but it didn't seem like it was even an issue with Herod until the Pharisees, I should say, made it an issue with him, and then eventually they took him to Pilate, and we know how it goes in the scripture, but this is just so, big steaming pile of rubbish.
Yeah. And talking about steaming, you know, it's amazing because when I take the dogs out at, you know, at 6 in the morning and it's below zero and they do their business, you can just see the steam coming off it. You can just see the steam come, and that's what this is.
Exactly.
Okay, here it is. Where do I start it?
Just from the beginning.
Okay.
Quintus, and you may only request an audience via form of application. Did you deface and remove a public notice? How about now?
Atticus Emilius Pulcher? And all the way to the Upper Galilee.
Well, you're behind the times, Quintus. I've been up and down Judea. Practically under your nose.
Oh, I thought you retired.
Hortus Urbani, don't retire.
That's right. They ship you off to Gaul.
Question for you. How do you hold up all that armor with no spine?
Don't be salty. Gaul's not a bad place to retire. I hear the women all have red hair and the music.
I'm not here to talk about women and music, though I'm sure you have plenty of time for both.
Yes, I do, because I keep things so tight around here. Can I have time for you? Oh, and hail Caesar. Did I hail already? How can I serve him today?
I come bearing intelligence.
I bear ears.
Good. Open them wide, Quintus. I've got news. It's about Jesus of Nazareth.
I'll go first.
Whoa! How are we going to measure it if you throw it in the sea?
By the splash.
Throw it on the shore.
I'm going to win anyway.
We'll see. If it's between fishing or hearing rabbi's instructions about the sermon, I'll throw this thing to the Mediterranean.
All right. I'll go first.
How are we going to measure it if you throw it in the sea?
By the splash.
Throw it on the shore.
I'm going to win anyway.
We'll see. If it's between fishing or hearing rabbi's instructions about the sermon, I'll throw this thing to the Mediterranean.
We should all be fishing. Try to avoid anything like what happened at Wadi Kelt.
So? Throw it, big guy. Winners pick.
Go, go!
Sons of Jonah fish today.
Wait. 2 out of 3. What if you're our Mercer?
Why are we deciding anything? We should all be fishing like Jesus asked. We can't risk messing up his settlement plan.
Andrew, I never took you for a soul loser.
Easy, little thunder. You go listen to Rabbi and get us up when we come back.
No, I mean it. Rabbi has told 4 of us to find food. We should do as he says or bad things will happen.
Soul loser and superstitious. Not a good look.
Not a good look. Oh, and Simon, we can arm wrestle next time.
No problem.
Terrible suggestion.
So you don't think I could take at least one of them? Have some faith, man.
Faith isn't my problem.
Everyone has a part to play in the execution of this sermon. Sons of thunder. Aren't you supposed to still be fishing?
We decided they could handle it. We wanted to learn more about what you were planning.
Hmm. You won a contest, huh? How is Andrew?
We'll get over it.
So, what have we missed?
G is working on a security plan. Mary and Ram are back at camp working on...
Thank you, Matthew. They don't need to hear all the details. Here's what I want each of you to understand, and what I want you to make sure that everyone else understands as well. It's the why of this sermon. It's not because we need to make our presence felt here in the region. And it's not about the details of how we make this happen. The details matter. Yes. And all of you will make sure that this is executed well. But what makes this sermon so important is each person who will be there. Philip, what makes John's sermon so memorable?
The volume.
Well, yes, that too.
He spoke directly to whoever was there. It was personal.
Yes, good. But this sermon will have thousands of people, so I won't be directing it to one group of people over another. But what I will say will be for each and every one of them. They're coming because word is spreading from the signs and wonders, but what I'll be giving to them will be far more important. Truth. This will define our whole ministry, and that's what we need to focus on.
All right, let's pause it there because I know that you are just you're just chomping at the bit.
You know, I'm flipping through and the accounts of the Sermon of the Mount, and I just don't see this discussion anywhere. But getting back to the first scene with Simon and Andrew and James and John throwing rocks, I guess, to what they're trying to do. Jesus told them all to go fishing. But they decided to have this rock throwing contest to see who gets out of fishing. And Peter is talking as if, you know, he would rather be fishing than to hear Jesus's preparation for this sermon, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, so they just get to decide they're not going to do what Jesus says and there's no consequences when John and James show up back at the spot where Jesus is. He just kind of makes a joke and it's no big deal, no rebuke, no nothing. And then this stuff about the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is telling them of the importance and how it will define their ministry. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well,
any discussion like that in here.
Yeah, it's not their, he said it'll define our mission. First of all, it's not their mission. It's your mission.
It's his.
Right, and the Father sent him. And part of that mission is they're there to be discipled. That's why they're there, to be eyewitnesses. Then it's not their mission. This is just so bad. And, you know, and here's the thing. Peter says, I'd rather go fishing than listen to the rabbi's sermons. But yet, if you'd rather go fishing, then why are you so mad that you lost if you'd rather go fishing? I don't get that.
Me either.
This is just, listen, you know, think about this. Here we are. We're in upstate New York. We like deer hunting. But Jesus comes and he makes us disciples, right? Don't you think that maybe, you know, after a year and a half of being with him, if he says, hey, guys, go get meat, go hunting, boy, don't you think that the four of them would welcome that?
I would think
because
so.
Right. So,
get
but
to
here,
do something they enjoy doing.
Right. But here they are now, two of them trying to wiggle out of that.
Yeah.
You know, that this, I mean, it just makes no sense. And then for Peter and Andrew to be mad about losing when, in fact, they said they would, you know, what would you rather do? In other words, don't you think that fishing would be like playing hooky rather than to listen to this guy and his, you know, his details of, I mean, it's almost disrespectful.
Yeah, it is.
No, this makes no
sense. And the Lord would not allow them to just not do what he said to do. If he says go hunting or fishing, you need to go hunting or fishing.
When my father
said,
he wouldn't
just gloss over that.
Right. When my daddy used to say, go out and get wood, and I can't, well, I just wanted to sit here on the porch and eat an apple. What? The switch would come, his belt would come off, and I would get it.
Yeah, exactly.
This makes sense. What? Jesus told you to do something, and then you make an agreement, you wiggle out of it, and then he you come back and he's grinning? You want to bet, right? Oh, what?
But that's just an example of the poor leadership of Jesus that's being displayed in this show, and especially
right.
in these last few episodes, because when you just leave people to figure stuff out on their own, they're not going to respect anything that you say to them after that. They're not going to respect your authority, even
mm-hmm.
when you do tell them to do stuff, you know.
Right.
So
right,
that's
right.
what
you
the,
think,
this
you
is a result of his leadership, his laissez-faire leadership style.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You think Creflo Dollar is gonna say to his members, go pick cotton and come back, and they say, and two of them come back and say, well, Dr. Dollar, we wiggled our way out of that. Oh, well, good for you boys. Good for what?
No.
Not from one of them plantation preachers, and not that Jesus is a plantation preacher, but he is the Christ.
Right.
He, Jesus says to Ananias, I want you to go to Straight Street in Damascus, and there I have a disciple, there's a man named Saul of Tarsus, he's praying. And Ananias says, Lord, haven't you heard what wicked
mm-hmm.
things he's done, how he's persecuted your saints? And the Lord replies, go, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to suffer many things. And the Bible says, and Ananias went and did
yes.
exactly as Jesus told him. You mean to tell me Jesus sends me on an assignment, then I get to wiggle my way out, and he laughs about it?
Yeah.
That's not the Jesus
it's
of the gospel.
It's not going to happen.
No. It's not going to happen. Now, you may do like Jonah, but guess what? He's going to put you on timeout. He's going to have a whale swallow you. You're going to be in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights until you come to your senses.
That's right. That's
but
right.
But you're going to do what sovereign God wants you to do. Crazy. Crazy. And when I heard when that Jesus was saying, you know, so people can understand our mission. their mission.
It,
no.
Right.
You came. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. You.
That's right.
Not them. Not them. They're students. They're students. All right. Here's more.
Customary to send word ahead when rabbis return to the order. Well, let's just see what happens now that we haven't. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosef of Capernaum. Well, shalom, Yosef. The learned Shmuel returned from Jerusalem. For what reason, we cannot say, but we are honored. For the sardines. Where else would I go?
We do have them pickled in the holy city as well.
I think Nicodemus made a fish joke upon his last arrival as well. Oh, prepare the seat of honor.
No. Yusuf, I have done nothing.
You were accepted by the great Sanhedrin of Jerusalem for special research. A proposal few are granted.
Please.
I'm flattered by your gesture, Yusuf, but this is no time for sitting. May I speak with you privately?
Well, yes, of course.
Accompany me to the Beit Midrash. But why her?
She referenced the healing of a leper.
Remember?
There is no law against healing a leper.
But if it was on Shabbat, like he did at the pool, then a pattern has emerged. He can tell us what blasphemy this Ethiopian woman...
Tamar.
She could be the key to confirming two incidents.
But a woman's testimony is worthless.
Not if she leads us to the leper.
You think someone healed of leprosy would turn over damning information about his healing?
To do otherwise would violate the commandment against bearing false witness.
With all due respect, teacher, I thought you went to Jerusalem to study false prophecy, not to hunt down this one man from Nazareth, of all places.
One and the same errand, Yusuf. I know he spends time with sinners, but the Ethiopian. Is she still in Capernaum?
Not in Capernaum. The last I heard of her was from Yehuda. He encountered her in Magdala.
Why would Yehuda bother to mention it?
She was offering testimony on the street.
A woman, blasphemy. It's like a wildfire with this man. Everywhere he goes. We must find her.
And if you discover the healing was not on Shabbat...
I hope you will consider sharing your experience in Jerusalem with us.
I would like that, Yusuf, but there is one other I must speak with.
Okay, so here's more stuff that's made up.
Yeah, more unnecessary scene. I mean, it's bad enough as is, but I'm like, boy, he could have just left these out. With the
right.
Intrigue with the Pharisees, and I guess Shmuel is now somewhat of a big wig now, like Nicodemus was. He's making
right.
a grand entrance to some synagogue. I'm not sure where this is. I'll assume it's in Jerusalem, but I don't know.
Yeah, like you said, this is just film you just throw in the garbage, or put it in the blooper section.
This whole series is a blooper so far.
Right. No, this is again. People are tired of hearing us say it, but there's no redeeming quality to this series. There's nothing in the series worth applauding. Nothing. Nothing. Just, you know, it's no good. Plain and simple. No good. All right. Now we're back to the boat with Peter and Andrew. Let's see what happens here. Let's see let's just see.
I don't know why the grain thing bothers you so much. Jesus didn't mind. The Pharisees did mind, and then report him now. Jesus knows how to handle himself. You don't have to write to his rescue all the time.
Seriously? You? The master riding to his rescue?
Yeah, all right. I did that a few times. I know it doesn't help.
You know what they're doing to John. We can't let them do that.
We won't.
Then let's not make a scene everywhere we go. That's all I'm saying. Common sense.
I think he's more of an uncommon sense guy. Get used to different, brother.
I'm being smart.
There goes that little catchphrase. Get used to different.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is.
Right?
And Andrew, something's going on with him. As you can tell, his personality has changed since John was arrested. So he's gonna really start tripping here in this last couple of episodes.
Wow. Okay.
What?
He's smarter, Matthew and Thomas.
So Matthew is smart now. The Messiah really has come.
Oh, forget I said anything. It's a fish.
I'm here to request an audience with the praetor. It's urgent.
That's what everyone says.
Well, there are signs all over Capernaum saying the man known as Jesus of Nazareth is sought for questioning.
I can take your statement.
I believe he was last seen in Jerusalem for one of our pilgrimage festivals.
When was this?
5 days ago.
That's outdated intelligence.
What?
We'll have him in our custody by tomorrow.
What's happened?
Arrested on what charge?
Is there anything else you'd like to report? With all respect, officer, I must know the nature of the charges. If he broke Jewish law, then we must know.
We? What do you know of the Order of the Zealots?
The fourth philosophy? I don't understand.
Stories and rumors. There are outsiders.
What have the Zealots got to do with Jesus of Nazareth?
Thank you for coming in. Can you see yourselves out, or would you like me to show
you? No, no. You're on the wrong track. Jesus is dangerous, but he's not.
We can decide for ourselves who's dangerous. Thank you. May we question him? Once you have him in custody?
Yes, I would very much like to speak with him on behalf of the Capernaum Synagogue. We'll pass that along. Will you really?
No.
Out.
Mark my words. Do not underestimate him.
Do not underestimate this.
Another worthless scene.
Right. Just filler.
That's it. Another worthless scene. That's... All right. Now here we have, let's see, 10 Roman soldiers. Okay.
Well, at least it's more soldiers than two or three this time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, let's see. Let's see what this is about.
So what's your plan, Freeman?
Plan? We're going to walk through that city like we own it. Arrest our man and be home by breakfast, cohort. That is the plan.
Have you been to Jotapata?
I've seen schematics.
It's a very, intense place.
Meaning?
Well, let's just say the praetor in Jotapata doesn't have the kind of control Quintus has in Capernaum.
How do you know that?
I used to have some reliable informants there.
What happened? They stopped talking?
They stopped living. Tortured to death. One by one. Rome is the enemy in Jotapata, Primi.
Not great.
Yeah. You know the guys in black and white?
Pharisees.
They got a lot of them. And the other ones?
Sadducees.
Yep, some of those too. And preachers, like this Jesus, all over the place. Pretty much everyone in the town is on a mission of protest. You know what I mean?
I am starting to get the picture.
Jesus' camp is just south of the city.
Maybe we'll take the long way around.
Now that sounds like a good plan.
Is that why you came along?
I wanted the exercise. But mostly, your Preter is just about the most detestable guy in all of Galilee.
You sure that is all? Could have walked along the seashore. If you wanted to avoid Quintus, there's always plenty to drink in a fishing city.
You've got good instincts, Preeny.
All right.
I must admit, I am intrigued by your prey.
Jesus of Nazareth?
I saw a man who had not stood on his own 2 feet in half a century, bounding like a boy. I watched a martyr throw down his weapon and take a knee. I saw a lunatic's eyes go clear. Jesus of Nazareth did those things. He doesn't strike me at all as threatening or scary. And that scares me. Now, maybe I'm just interested to see how he'll take to wrist irons.
Listen up, men!
Like old times, huh? As he said,
no one ever has to guess what's going on in your head.
There's nothing in my head. It's in our...
So that Roman soldier scene was another wasted 5 minutes or whatever it was. Just, again, meaningless waste of time. Like I said, he's got no ideas.
He's running out of ideas, so there's a lot of fluff in this.
Yeah. It's like if you said to me, here's a fishbone. You give me one fishbone, right? And then you say, okay, now from that one fishbone, reconstruct the whole fish. That's what this is. He's got Jesus, and then he's trying to reconstruct around that, and he's just making a mess out of the whole thing. Because everything we've watched thus far, the competition, the throne stone, the throne stone-throwing competition, that was a waste. The Pharisees talking among themselves, that's a waste. The Pharisees running over to talk to the Romans, that's a waste. That scene with the Roman soldiers talking among themselves, that's a waste.
But I was just thinking, though, if you look at it from what Dallas is quote-unquote vision of the show is, Jesus isn't the main character, and it's mainly about the impact he had on those around him, whether it be negative or positive. So I guess that's why he's put adding all these things in here that we think are useless, but to him it's not about Jesus but those around Jesus.
So you have a Gaius and a Quintus in here, right? So when is Ernie and Bert going to show up? Because they're not a cookie monster. Right. I mean, if you're just inserting things, where's Scooby and Scrappy Doo? Come on. These people did not exist. They're
right.
Not part of the narrative. They're not.
I agree.
It's like I told you, I went to the hospital. I took that lady, the sister in church, and I opened up this little Catholic, booklet. And there is St. Anne overhearing, eavesdropping on the conversation between her supposed daughter Mary and the Archangel Gabriel.
Right.
And there she is, St. Anne. Well, that's like Quintus or Gaius. You're making stuff up.
Whoever this other guy is, what's his name? I keep forgetting his name.
The Secret Service guy. Yeah. So this is just, I'm just waiting to see when is the Riddler going to show up, when is the Penguin going to show up, because
they would be more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just gonna make stuff up, I mean, and this is, look, there's no rhyme or reason. Here's Peter and Andrew on the boat again. Let's listen now to what they have to say. Let's listen. Let's see what this is about.
Bombs. Don't have to think.
Must be nice.
What?
Having nothing in your head.
Don't be smart. Just a thing.
That leaves two. You pluck the heads of grain at what he killed.
Everybody did that. Except Mary.
She'd already done her part.
You think you're never going to make another mistake in your life?
She was gone for days.
Duke, don't exaggerate.
Me not to exaggerate? Are you telling me not to exaggerate? That...
Wow! Look, she went through something horrible and terrifying, and she dealt with it the best way she knew how.
She should have gone to Jesus.
She knows that now. If you remember, Jesus was disarming Crazy Simon of his dagger.
Oh, he's the Crazy Simon?
I'm a married man who worked an honest trade.
Worked an honest trade dishonestly?
Here's how I met Jesus. Unexpected roads.
Gambling. Brawling. That's also unexpected.
You gamble too.
And I'll never do it again. And if I'm ever tempted, I'll ask the rabbi for help. I certainly won't do anything selfish. Leave the group stranded at camp for 2 days starving, or puts Jesus on edge. Makes him snap the Pharisees, who are hunting us down now.
He was grieving John's arrest, and they're not hunting us down. You're so dramatic.
Word reaches Jerusalem that he claimed the title Son of Man and Lord of the Sabbath. They'll hunt them down. They'll put them away. It could completely ruin all the plans for the sermon. Erase all the momentum we've gained. That's what I'm afraid of.
Jerusalem doesn't even open the mail from Vatican. Andrew, this is just fear talking.
I've been at this longer than you. When they decide they don't like you, it's over. John might spend his life in prison.
But Herod arrested John, not the Sanhedrin.
Sanhedrin arrests people all the time.
You're the one who told me he was the Messiah. Am I going to have to be the one to remind you now?
The very fact that he's the Messiah means there's going to be trouble. You get it? Maybe even a war.
If you were building an army, would you start with little James and Thaddeus?
Simon!
You think he's drawing up military plans all the time he goes away to desolate places?
He never comes back with anything.
You know what? Let's just fish. All right? Can we?
Andrew, my little brother whom I love very much.
What?
I need you to take a very long, deep breath. Can you do that?
What?
Why?
Just please, ask God to give you...
Now, a few days will be plenty of time to make sure everything goes smoothly.
So there is Peter and Andrew, they're arguing on the boat. And which was a worthless argument, never happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now they see the Roman soldiers coming. The question that we have to ask ourselves, is there one Bible verse in all those four Gospels that presents this episode? One Bible, we're just looking for one. And the answer is zero. Zero. This is an apocrypha account.
Right.
That's what this is.
That's right. And listen, and I'm just looking at how Andrew was talking about Jesus when Simon Peter mentioned something about how he disappears into desolate places, and Andrew notes where he never comes back with anything. You know, so it's almost as if Andrew is doubting he's the Messiah or something, but he's getting really frazzled because of what happened with John and the not knowing, even though we don't have anything in Scripture to say that that happened. And now they were up probably surely concerned when he got arrested, for sure. But that doesn't mean that they were just all out – just all over the place emotionally like Andrew is right now.
Right. No, I mean, like you said before, these disciples are in disarray. They're confused. Jesus shows no, think about it. He's giving a so-called pep talk to some disciples, and the other disciples are fishing. Wait a minute. This is like if I worked at a Christian school, and I'm the teacher of the class, and I say, I'm giving a pep talk. I have 20 students. I'm giving a pep talk to 15, but five of them, I sent them to my house to vacuum and clean and wash my car. And what is that? What are you?
Right. Again. And it looks like that Andrew in particular needed the pep talk more than anybody. He's just railing at everybody.
Yeah. He's just mad. Mad and confused and bewildered and not knowing if he's coming or if he's going. And well, again, that's Jenkins Andrew, because that is,
right.
This is not the Andrew. This is not the Andrew of Scripture. All right. Now we come back into the camp where Jesus is giving the pep talk. Let's see if Elmo shows up. Let's see.
Be afraid. Tell everyone to keep planning. I'll be back.
I knew it! Hey, I knew it!
Get together, man.
Jesus of Nazareth, you are sought for questioning by a Roman authority. Will you surrender to detainment peacefully?
Yes.
Jesus, no! Are you armed?
I am not, but some of my followers are.
Tell your followers to drop their weapons and step back 10 cubits.
I will. May I say goodbye to my Ima? Mater Mea.
Yes.
Don't be afraid, Ima.
James and John, drop your weapons and step back 10 cubits.
Matthew is safe and doing well. He's back at the camp.
You all look underfed. Filthy.
We had a bit of a hungry spell, but we have men out on the water now stocking us up.
He's used to eating well. What do you have to offer him?
We talk about this later.
Move out.
Let's stop it right there, and let's nitpick some more, because that's all we do here.
Not the right time, place, as far as the Lord being arrested, this is complete fiction. And then, oh, Jesus has to say goodbye to mommy first.
And here's the thing. He says to his disciples, drop your weapons. Jesus did not allow his disciples to have weapons.
Right.
That was part of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers. What are you doing with weapons?
Well, I guess they're looking back at the time when Peter had cut off the ear of the guy, the servant, when Jesus was being arrested, the real time he was arrested.
But again,
it didn't say the other disciples had one or – and. See, that was mind-boggling. This scene didn't even happen at this time.
Right. Here's the thing. Jesus was only arrested once.
Right.
That's all. So if you have the two arrests of Jesus or three arrests of Jesus, you have two too many. Or one too many, because he was only arrested once. So...
And any time he was persecuted or plotted against, it was the religious leaders, not the Romans.
Right. Right. So this makes absolutely no sense. Saying goodbye to Ema when Ema wasn't even there, this never happened. You might as well have Charlie Brown and Peppermint Patty in this episode, too, because, you know, this is just, you know, and those Romans better thank the Lord that the rifleman wasn't there, because if the rifleman was, if Chuck Connors was there, you know, it would have been history. This is so stupid. And here's the thing. I watch Dallas's episodes at least 20 times to get it right. 20 times.
You stay on Jerry's helmet. I mean, you really hit on this father thing.
Yeah, because look, this is just, we have to be honest with our kids, you know?
Yeah.
I used to get stuff. My kids used to draw stuff for me all the time, right? And my wife says, hold on to that. Says, I have, when it comes to their art, when it comes to their macaroni stuff and all the stuff that they do, I have one rule. I'll keep it for a day. The next day is in the garbage. This is not Picasso. This is not, you know, that's it. You don't have any of this stuff, honey? No, I don't have none of this stuff. It was, you know, okay, it was cute. I looked at it. It'll last for a day. After that, I got too much paper. I got too much stuff. No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be telling your son, oh, this is magnificent. Here's a trophy. And the race had 34 contestants, and he's number 34. No.
Well, if you correct him and the son doesn't listen, when it comes to something like this series, then it's time for dad to tell the truth in love and then back off. It's like I'm not going to be a part of this, son.
Right, right, right. No, this is horrible. This is just, look, one thing is to get the end times wrong. Right, about, you know, in the Left Behind series, okay? One thing is to, you know, insert this guy that, listen, you're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. That's one thing you don't mess with. That's just one thing you don't mess with. Don't mess with that. And he's made a complete disaster of it, a complete disaster. All right, let's see now what happens next.
stood there and did nothing while you was arrested.
You were specific.
Detained, not arrested.
Those are just words. Have you no experience at home?
We have to go after them.
We agreed to surrender peacefully.
No! No! What if they change their minds? Have you forgotten what they're doing to John?
You're terrifying her. I will be fine.
Well, I'm going. They're headed north. I'll catch them in Jotapata and petition for his release.
Andrew, he didn't ask you to help.
He shouldn't have to. I don't recognize any of you.
Brother, you're not yourself.
Maybe I should come with you. I feel responsible.
You might be responsible.
Andrew.
How could you leave?
Stop this right now.
It isn't anyone's fault.
Mary, please, stay. I'll accompany Andrew. I have lots of experience waiting for my rabbi outside jails.
Why wait? Let's break him out.
Don't wait up.
They're beating up on each other, and
they're all in disarray, and of course disobeying his instructions when it suits them.
Right. This is a complete mess. Listen, this is a train that has gone so bad off the rails. It's just. This train was trying to fly when it should have stayed on the ground, and it is so off the rails. Mm-hmm. It's not even funny. And this is just season two. This is season
two. I'm scared of what might be in the next season. I mean, my goodness, is Joseph Smith gonna come and be one of the disciples next?
It's crazy. This is crazy. This is just, all right, here's more. Now, remember, we have to prepare to be different. Get used to different.
My goodness. I don't think so. It's a different Jesus, and I'm not going to get used to him.
No. Listen. For any pastor to endorse this series, they should be thrown out on their keister.
Well, they're doing more than endorsing it. They're showing it at church and studying it.
Right. I would show it, but only to do apologetics. Only to show what's wrong with it. Not to endorse it, but to say, hey, this ain't Jesus. This is the kind of Jesus now that the so-called evangelicals are trying to present us, the evangelicals who are in bed with Mormons and Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, you would ask yourself, why doesn't the Jewish consultant speak out against this? Well, because no doubt, the Jewish guy doesn't want to promote Jesus.
No. Even though he claims to be what they call a messianic Jew.
He should be outraged over this. Outraged. Okay.
Understanding and knowledge.
Excuse me, friend. Shalom.
Oh, behold our affliction and wage our battle. For you are God, the Redeemer, the Mighty One.
We're from Jerusalem. We're looking forward
to return our Father to your
Torah. He does this every day.
To your service. And bring us back.
It's okay. We'll find
someone else. I like that in this city.
Have you seen any Ethiopians around here?
Not many.
What about a woman? Impossible to miss. Lots of jewelry, very striking, very loud.
guess men like you have sent?
Yes.
I'm not sure what could be clearer than the three words, I will be back. That's four.
Okay.
Okay, so now the Pharisees are looking for the African woman who was there to witness the lowering down of the paralytic, correct?
Yes.
Is that
the
one they're looking for?
Yes.
Okay. So I have been able to connect at least one dot in this fiasco.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, here's another important thing about, you know, when you connect the dot, at least when I was a kid, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I used to get a sheet of paper and it had a bunch of numbers on it, one all the way to like 50. And you didn't start out at one and then drew a line to 50, then drew a line to 36. The way it worked, if you wanted to know what was in the picture, which was hidden, you had to go from 1 to 2, from 2 to 3, from 3 to, right? You had to go in the numerical order, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you can see the picture. This guy is all over the map.
And that's why I'm getting confused sometimes. It's like, where are we even at, let alone everything else involved? I don't even know where they are half the time.
Right. So because of that, I'm lost, you're lost, everybody's lost, and we don't know who these people are.
Or maybe we're thinking too much. Maybe other people enjoy it because they just sit back and soak it all in.
But, you know, that's why we have the Gospels. The Gospels do not allow us to just check our brain at the door and just soak it in. The Gospels want, the Gospel writers want us to think. That's what they want. They don't want dum-dums. The Gospel writers are not there to entertain us. Because, you know, some preaching today, let's say like T.D. Jakes or one of his daughters, Cora, That's what you call entertainment tonight. That's just that's preaching that people go. People want to be told a nice yarn.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a good storyteller, you'll make it as a preacher in the church today because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for someone who can tell stories
and add a certain flavor to it. It's particularly in if you're in the black churches, we love that stuff too.
Right. So, but this, maybe Dallas should have been black. Maybe he could have told a different story. Because this is, like I said, this to me is like you have a little bit of an Irish meal, a little bit of a Mexican meal, a little bit of an Italian meal in one bowl, scrambled. Here, eat this. Mm. What is that? What are you serving me? It's just horrible. All right, here's more.
Can you dispute that? Maybe it was a hint that we are supposed to be the fulfillment of those words.
Zealots and your secret handshakes and codes.
I am not a zealot anymore, just zealous. As if you just interpreted plain speech about trust and peacefulness as code for insurrection.
I think he's onto something. Rabbi told us how important this sermon is. We can't let anything stop it. Maybe it was a hint.
You're not going to keep me from another obvious fight, are you?
With these skills, we could do it.
James and John, be mindful of what he named you.
Seems perfect for a time like this.
I think we should do what he said and wait here for him.
Oh, yes, great advice coming from someone who disappeared for 2 days.
How dare you?
Don't talk to her like that. Oh, now he speaks. Suddenly he has a voice. When it's about her...
You've made mistakes, too.
Boys! Stop it!
Boys?
You're acting like children.
Nathaniel's right. The words were plain.
You weren't there.
So now it's a matter of whose testimony is more credible?
Now look. You've upset our rabbi's imam.
I only made an observation.
I made a mistake leaving camp. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I relied on my own observation, my own understanding so heavily. Jesus said he will be back. Thank you.
the women who are the emotional ones are also the rational ones. And
right.
So, you know, there you have
the men are out of control and falling apart and panicking, and the women
right.
are the rational, logical ones.
Correct. Listen, it's good that Peppermint Patty had Charlie Brown, or rather, Charlie Brown had Peppermint Patty, because, you know,
he was always running for Peppermint Patty, though.
Right, right. Yeah, this is, look, oh, this is so unbearable. But look, we have to watch it because I can't lie to people and say, well, yeah, I saw it all when I didn't. You just have to force yourself to see it. You're going to have to, it's like watching a train wreck in slow motion, and they'll tell you, viewer discretion is advised. This contains violent scenes, and yeah, this is awful.
Mm-hmm.
This, you got to admit, this episode, what is this, 7? This is just,
yes.
why did you even make it? Why did you even make it?
That's the agreed upon number of episodes per season, I guess. I was just scratching my head a lot of the times, and as I was watching it, I'm thinking, boy, I can't wait to hear what Bro has to say about these.
This is just, and it's, look, it's not about the, we're not knocking the costumes. We're not knocking the sets. We're not knocking any of that. What we're knocking is the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the sets are good, the costumes are good, everything is good. The film quality is good, but everything
mm-hmm.
else stinks to high heaven.
Right,
it's just awful, awful.
And I honestly don't think that the Lord would be pleased with a story like this or this distortion of the Gospels. Because if we don't understand who he is, then what have we got? We're lost.
That's it. It's all about the Lord Jesus. This is why, you know, when you read the Gospels, think about painstakingly how Matthew records his genealogy, how Luke records his genealogy, right? These Gospel writers were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and for you to
right.
just disregard what the Holy Spirit did to make your own version of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. This is horrible.
Mm-mm. It's not something to be taken lightly or just say, well, it's a good show, so, you know, who cares about those other details?
Right.
God cares. I believe the Lord cares.
Right. Okay. Let's see how much we can squeeze in here.
May all the enemies die, sorrow, and pain over us. Don't worry about them. We hear from God, the Supreme. We don't get in the way of either.
Where should we go first?
Jail. Come on, it's this way.
For our judges in former time and our counselors of yore, remove from us sorrow and pain and reign over us justice.
Andrew.
You alone, Lord, see righteousness.
They say we're extreme.
My own mind.
Look at him. He can stand. It was faith.
delivered this man a miracle.
Oh, that's more like it.
I know her.
I'm quite...
Anything.
What?
Who cares?
Oh, come on, we have a rabbi to find.
We heard he consults with Samaritan.
I cannot personally confirm it, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Who cares who he ministers to? I was paralyzed for 23 years, and I stand before him now.
Talking about Jesus.
Who on earth can claim authority to forgive sins?
The kind of person that can tell a paralyzed man to stand and the miracle happens in front of thousands of witnesses.
Could be witchcraft or sorcery.
Witches and sorcerers, they require payment for their service.
And he gave freely.
But why is he in hiding?
We don't know.
He told the leper on the road to keep the healing a secret.
And then why are you telling people?
He gave us no such order to remain silent. I believe that he will make himself more known soon. I can sense it in my spirit, and you... You are there, in Capernaum.
Can I talk to you? This man can attest he was a witness.
Yes.
Where is he?
You know this Jesus of Nazareth. Is he here at the top of that?
Tell him.
Come with me, both of you. You must stop drawing attention to Jesus.
How can we not speak about what we have seen? But how can you remain silent?
The Romans?
Oh, no. What happened?
We'll tell you all about it. Why don't we go somewhere a little more private?
Hey, where are you going?
Okay, so they meet up with the Ethiopian woman, and she's preaching, and she's testifying,
yeah.
And she's got the crippled man, the former cripple there. And you know, they're doing what the disciples are supposed to be doing, but in this alternate universe,
that's exactly what this is.
Right, the disciples are not preaching, but the people healed are preaching.
Right, and yeah. The disciples are telling them to be quiet and stop saying anything about Jesus. Don't testify of what you've seen and experienced, because it's getting drawing unwanted attention.
Yeah, this is
the women have more guts than the men in this show.
Right, right. No, and not only that, but the women, or at least this woman here in this scene, she has more of a sense of what Jesus' mission is and what he came to do than these disciples who are still wondering, is he the Messiah? Should we be following him? You know, where does he go? Why does he disappear? You know, this lady's got it more to – it's like, listen – don't follow Jenk and Jesus, and you'll know more than those that do follow him.
Right. And I may as well go on and give you the spoiler alert. I saw a video where Dallas said in season 3, you'll definitely be seeing more of this woman. She'll be a part of the group.
Well, think about it. What fills up the church? What do we have most in church?
Women.
So, okay, so you give them a mother figure that the mothers could rally around. You give them a young woman with a troubled past so that they can rally around her. Now, with this black woman, he's trying to draw in all the black women in the church. Oh, there we got one. We got a representative. We got a token black. And she's on fire. She's Pentecostal.
We got a sister girl in the group.
Right. So you see how he's got different characters tailor made for different demographics to draw them in. Of course, he's gonna bring in a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
He wants that demographic. He wants to take some of T.D. Jakes's and Cora Jakes's followers.
That's
he's
right.
Stupid. That's how they do it.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to these conferences, right? They'll always put a token Hispanic up there. Come over here, brother so and so, somebody you never heard of, but because they need a token Hispanic,
there
they just give you
yep.
one. They have to, they, because, you know, you got to
like,
do something.
What Oral Roberts did with Carlton Pearson. He was his black son.
Right, right, sure. And Carlton got on, he got on the organ, as Oral Roberts was grinding the organ, and there was Carlton dancing a jig.
Right.
You know, because, listen, they're playing you, dude. But he didn't care. It's so, listen, it's so, so sad. So sad. So, yeah, I mean, hey, in some movies, right, in some movies, like in the first, like if they plan to do a 5 or 6 part series of, you know, movies, if they put a character in a movie one, and the audience leaves the theater, and you hear them, oh, we love this character. Guess what's going to happen in the second movie? You're going to see more.
You'll see that character.
There you go. There you go. See? That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Well, we're out of time. Great show as always. I nitpicked enough. But, yeah, I mean, we have no reason whatsoever to recommend season one or season two. No reason.
In fact, we just
have to warn people to stay away from season one, season two. But say you, my sister,
so where,
you have the last word.
First, where did we leave off at?
We left off at, here we go. We left off at 27:15.
Okay.
27:15.
Okay.
27 minutes, 15 seconds.
Got it. And I just want to say thank everyone for listening, and know that we love you, and have a great rest of your day and week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.